The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
We need to be aware of those conditions. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at the 20th verse. My son, that means you. See, there's neither male nor female in Christ. See, all of God's children are sons. My son, give attention to my words. I'm going to go real slow because I want you to get this. I'm talking about God's preventative health conditions so that you can be a picture of health. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What is God saying? First thing God is saying is pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Pay attention to what I am doing. God says, pay attention to my words. Then he says, incline your ear to my saying. To incline your ear is to stretch the ear or to prick up the ear. Everybody grab your ear and do this. This is what God is saying. Incline your ear to what I'm saying. You've been listening to everybody else and everything else, but God is saying you need to listen to me. Incline your ears to what I'm saying. Then he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. You got to have a vision of life. You got to have a vision of your health. Do you see yourself broken down, sick, crippled? How do you see yourself? What you see is what you will eventually begin to believe. And God says, keep this in the midst of your heart. Now, we know something about the heart. The psalmist David says that. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might sin against thee. How about if we understand that if we take his word and say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that sickness may not find me. And if it does, it won't stay because of your word. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. He says, keep it in the midst of your heart. And if you'll meet these conditions, God says, he says, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, I want you to flip back over to Exodus. It gets even better. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And I want you to look at verse 25. Now, here in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, God gives us the secret. He promises to remove sickness from us. And he gives us the secret to beating sickness. Verse 25, if you're there, say amen. Amen. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. You shall serve the Lord your God. And if you do, God says, I will bless your bread and I will bless your water and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. What is God saying? Well, he's clearly saying that I will remove sickness, but here's how I'm going to remove sickness. God says, I'm going to remove sickness by the health you eat. He says that I will bless your bread and your water. Your bread is the food you eat, and your water is the beverages you drink. Now, let me show you how much sense this makes. What did God say to Israel in Leviticus chapter 11? God began to outline a series of things that he didn't want Israel to do with respect to their diet, with respect to purity, with respect to sanitation. And all these things were designed to keep Israel in good health. Remember, they were out in the wilderness for 40 years. But God says, if you stay away from the pig, that's what he said in chapter 11. Then he said, stay away from the seafood and stay away from certain fowl of the air. And God said, if you do those things, come on. He says, I'll bless your bread, I'll bless your water, and I will take sickness from the midst of you. Now, let me break this down. Now, I don't want nobody in condemnation, because I'm going to fast forward it to the New Testament. There was a reason why God told Israel to stay away from the pig. There was a reason why God told Israel to stay away from seafood. We know as a fact, a medical fact, if you to the pig, it will contribute to high blood pressure, hypertension. Listen to me. We also know from medical scientific evidence, if you consume too much seafood, in other words, anything that doesn't have fins and scales, I'm talking about the shrimp, the lobster, the clams, come on. Seafood causes your cholesterol levels to rise. And cholesterol builds up in your arteries and it causes blockage to your heart. And God knew that. And so he says here, if you just serve the Lord your God, he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from you. Oftentimes, the health we experience is the health we eat. We must be real with it. We are sick oftentimes because of our diets. Huh? But here's the good news. The good news is Jesus redeemed us from the law. Come on. Jesus redeemed us from the law, and now you're free to eat the pig. You're free to eat the seafood. Come on, you're free to eat anything. Why? Listen to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it's received with thanksgiving, come on, because it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So those of you still on the pig, you need to really be praying before you eat the pig. Those of you that like red lobster, you really need to pray over your food before you eat it. Now you have freedom in Christ to eat whatever you want to eat. But there's some wisdom that we ought to glean from Leviticus chapter 11. There's some wisdom that we ought to glean when God says to them, don't eat this, but you may eat the other. Stay away from that, because he wanted his people to be a picture of health. Is that right? Now, I don't want anybody to be condemned in here because of what you eat. Now, we don't buy pork at my house. I didn't say I didn't eat it. I said we don't buy it. But about twice a year, I'm just keeping it real, about twice a year, I get a craving for some baby bags. And you know what I do? I said, Lord, I said, Lord, bless these ribs, cleanse them, sanctify them, and I give you thanks for them. That's exactly what Paul instructed us to do. He says, for every creature of God is good. Nothing to be refused. If you like it, you don't have to refuse it. Because it's sanctified. When is it sanctified? When you pray over it. It's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But much of the health we experience, beloved, is the health we eat. And see, that's what you're putting in your body becomes part of your body. And if it's not good for you, it's not going to be good to you. Is that right? And it may be good to you, but it still ain't good for you. Is that right? Now, we get sick sometimes. We get sick, and that's why God gives us victory over sickness. Why would we need victory over sickness if we never got sick? But like I told you last week, if you get sick, number one, acknowledge it. Don't be in denial. You know you've been eating too much of that swine, and you got a headache now. You need to acknowledge your head is hurting. I feel my pressure rising. You need to acknowledge that. Come on. Then number two, you need to refuse to accept it. Why? You've been redeemed. So refuse to accept it. But number three, what do? You confess God's word over it. You confess God's word that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And I'm free to eat anything I want to eat if I receive it with thanksgiving and prayer and sanctify it with thanksgiving and prayer. Because every creature of God is good. That's what you do. And then every time you feel those symptoms again, you give that God thanks. Father, thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed. See, if you asked him again and again to do it, you didn't believe it the first time you asked him. Huh? But you first have to acknowledge. Then you need to resist it. I resist this condition, this symptom in the name of Jesus. I come against you, devil, and I command you to go. Come on. The word of God says I am healed and I'm standing on what God said. And every time you think about it, every time you pray about it, Father, thank you for my healing. Now, why am I saying all of this? I'm saying all of this because Proverbs 18 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. You will have what you say. If you confess in sickness, you're going to have more of it. If you confess in the word of God, you will have less of it. And guess what, beloved? It must go. Come on. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Is that right? Then Isaiah chapter 33, verse 24 says, the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Hello. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. You don't confess sickness. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. For they that dwell in Zion shall be forgiven of their iniquity. If you believe you're forgiven, you need to believe that you're healed. Come on. You can't have one without the other. Jesus not only died for your sins, he died for your healing. And you need to stand on the word of God regardless of the symptoms, regardless of the reports. You need to stand on what God has said. Glory to God. And at some point, something got to give. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. And I'm going to tell you what's going to give. Sickness must go. You are an inhabitant of Zion. And he says, you are not to say you're sick. And Hebrews 12, verse 22 says, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And with an innumerable company of angels to the assembly, to that anointed assembly, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. What am I saying? The Lord has done sign your name. The Lord has done sign your name. You are an inhabitant of Zion. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. There's an innumerable company of angels. Come on now. You're part of that called out assembly. You're a member of the church of the firstborn whose names are registered in heaven. And if God says you're healed, you got to confess, I am healed. And I thank you for my healing. You got to see yourself as a picture of health. How does God heal? How does God heal? Well, he said, if you diligently heed, listen to, hearken to the words of the Lord your God, and if you do that which is right in my sight, you give ear to my commandments and keep all my statutes, then I will not bring any of these diseases upon you. And again, if they come, they didn't come from God. That's why you have every right to tell them to go. He says, because I'm Jehovah Rapha. So God is clearly saying he heals by his word. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Remember I talked about that last year when I was talking about beggars and believers, how Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there was a lame man who sat there at the gate, beautiful, begging for money, begging for alms. And one day Peter decided to minister healing to the man. In Acts chapter 3, Peter said to the lame man, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabbed the lame man by the hand, and the lame man, he rose up and began not only to walk, he began to leap and praise God. Now look at verse 16, because the people wanted to know, how could this have happened? This man was born lame. Now he's a pitcher. He's a pitcher of health. 16, Peter says, and his name. In other words, Jesus' name. That's how it happened. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man a pitcher of health, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter said, this man is healed, and in Jesus' name. So how does God heal us? He heals us by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We got to take God at his word. That's what faith is, bottom line, taking God at his word. And without taking God at his word, it's impossible to please him. And if you're going to come to God to believe God for healing, you must believe that he is the healer. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't say, I've had this a long time. But my God, how long is long when you got God on your side? So he heals by faith in his word and faith in his name. Remember his words we read in Proverbs 4 is life to all those that heed his word, and his words become health to all your flesh. Is that right? I believe God desires for every one of us to be a picture of health. And regardless of what your diagnosis may have been, regardless of what your condition is, regardless of what your doctor, no matter how learned and how certified he or she may be, regardless of what they said, the question is, what do you say? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see somebody sick, or do you see somebody that's a picture of health? That was the very first promise God made to Israel when he delivered them out of Egypt. And we ought to take hold to that promise. If you believe, you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Come on. And now you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You can stand on the same promise and claim your Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, because I diligently listen to your words, and because I tried to my very best to live right in your sight, I give ear to all your commandments, I'm keeping your statutes, I believe that this is not from you, but I believe you're taking it away from me. God desires that we all be a picture of health. Remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, I quoted this last week, he says, and they that be whole need not a physician, but they that be sick. What are you saying, Lord? They who are a picture of health need not a physician. But those who aren't the picture of health, they need the physician. And I am the great physician. Come on. I am the great physician. And the Apostle John, in his letter to the elect lady, in 3 John 2, he says, "Beloved, I wish," in other words, "I pray above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health." In other words, be a picture of health, even as your soul prosper. Let me tell you something, there's no defects in your soul salvation. There's no defects in your righteousness of God in Christ. There's nothing lacking, no defects. There's no problem on the inside, but the problem oftentimes is in our minds and in our bodies. Come on. And the question is, what do you see? A picture is something that can be seen. And the question is, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see what you've been told by some professional? Or do you see what God has said? And there's no contradiction, beloved. Doctors have a place, and it's a godly place. Many miracles happen in hospitals and clinics all the time. Many people are still here today because of medication and the advancements made in medical science. And I'm telling you, we ought to give God the glory for that, huh? But no matter what route you take, you got to understand that God is the driver. He is the source. Come on. Only God can heal. And most physicians and surgeons, they understand that. And if you got one that don't understand that, you might want to find another one. You might want to find another one. Is that right? God wants to give us victory over sickness. We don't have to take a back seat because of a symptom, because of a sickness or disease. We can rise above that, and we can be the head rather than the tail. We can be on top rather than the bottom. We can be driving the sickness rather than the sickness driving us. And I'm telling you, you have victory over sickness, and you must see yourself as a picture of health. Glory to God. You don't just want to feel good. You want to look good. Walk like you good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody told me yesterday, I want to call the name, but they said, "You know, Pastor, you really look good." I said, "You do too." "You do too." So, yeah, I've been in the gym, done a little some. You do too. But we want to be a picture of health. Now, in closing, God's first conditional promise to his people is that I want to heal you. And when sickness come upon you, I'm not the one who brought it. But I am going to be the one who take it away from you. I'm going to bless your bread and your water, and then I'm going to take your sicknesses and put them on those that hate you. I am the Lord who heals you. And you are not to say you are sick. And I need to emphasize that. Stop telling folk you're sick. You only need to acknowledge it one time. But you don't need to confess it over and over. But you need to confess the word of God over and over again until you begin to believe what God has said, until that chasm, that divide is closed between what God said and what you experience. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you need to keep saying what God is saying until you believe it. And we're always thankful for it. It's that simple, beloved. I'm not going to lie and say I wasn't sick. I had to acknowledge that I had a TIA in 2012. I had to acknowledge that. See? But the second thing I did, I refused it. I refused to accept it. Yeah, I told my wife, I'd go along with what they're doing, but I'm fine. Every test they gave me was negative, negative, negative. And they tried to trick me. They sent about three different therapists, occupational therapists, physical therapists, one other kind of therapist. And they said, take a walk with us. And the woman going to drop her keys on the floor to see how we react. They can find nothing wrong with me. But I couldn't deny that because of the symptoms. But I refused to accept it. And when some came to the hospital to see me, I was sitting up in bed with my grandchildren on my lap quoting the word of God. So you acknowledge the sickness. Come on. But you don't accept it. You resist it. Devil, you got to go from here now. And take this with you. I rebuke this. I don't receive this. Come on. So you acknowledge, resist it, and you confess the word of God. And every time that symptom is called to your attention, or every time you pray about that symptom or the condition, your prayer is, Father, thank you that I am healed. Thank you that your word says that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of his peace is upon me, and by his stripes I am healed. And I thank you for my healing. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. That's what it means to be a picture of health. Glory to God. You keep talking like that, you're going to begin to see yourself like that. Is that right? Is that right? Let's give the Lord some praise.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net. 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.